sport. The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
It is now time for the Week 5 edition of the NFL Power Rankings. Pepe is giving the fist pump live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. I was not here last week, but we still need to grade your boys out following the all-time worst performance from 2 weeks prior.
Pretty bad. All right, last week, Robert.
This is going to be bad, I think.
Number one. Mm-hmm.
Buffalo.
Wrong.
Number two, Kansas City.
Yep.
Entirely right.
Number three, Minnesota.
Yep.
Cha-ching.
Number four, Detroit.
Yep.
Buckets.
And number five, Pittsburgh.
Wrong.
Pittsburgh lost to
Indy.
All right. That's 3-2.
Peyton had Buffalo 1. Kansas City 2. Detroit.
Wait, I didn't hear you buzz yourself.
Yeah. Oh, was I supposed to?
Yeah, you're supposed to buzz yourself. Working, huh? Yeah.
Detroit 3, Minnesota 4, and under our new rules, he had Seattle 5.
So that's a win.
Who lost to Detroit?
It's not a win,
but it's not a loss.
It's not a loss.
It's not a loss.
So 3-1-1.
3-1-1.
All right.
I had Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2. Detroit 3.
Early buzz.
Detroit 3. Minnesota 4. And San Fran 5.
RJ Choppy, the winner of week 4.
Small victories.
At 4-1.
This is by far the hardest week for me to figure out so far.
So yesterday I was listening to a KMC on the ride home. I think Alec Medford picked CBS Sports' power rankings. And they only do like one power ranking. We like do like 10. You know, we look at everybody. And
lame.
CBS had the Cowboys as like 13 in their power rankings. And I almost drove off the highway. And I'm sitting there, pull off to the side, you know, of a 30. And I text the guys and they go, they're ninth best in the NFC. 13 is stupid and absurd. And they agree with that. So CBS somehow putting the Cowboys way up at 13.
Hey, yeah. Collectively, here's who the six outlets that we follow had the Cowboys ranked. This is NFL.com, CBS, The Athletic, ESPN, SI, and Yahoo.
Official football show of record.
Uh-huh. NFL.com, 17th. CBS, 13th. The Athletic had them 14th. ESPN, 15th.
Come on, Machota.
SI, 17th. And then Yahoo had them 15. Cumulatively, they end up as 14th in the NFL in the cumulative power rankings.
All right, let's just rip off the AFC teams that we believe and know are better.
Kansas City.
All right.
Buffalo.
Yep.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Jets are better.
The Jets. No, the Jets aren't. Jets aren't better than air.
Jets are better.
The Jets are not better.
The Jets are not better.
Not putting Jets
have allowed. Jets are allowing fewer than 20 points per game.
Would they beat them? They might, but it's not. They're not. You can't say they're better.
If they play 10 times, Jets win more of those games.
Oh, you see,
no. What about Houston? I'm going to put Houston.
Houston's
not played well this year.
Neither.
They're 3-1 in name only.
Okay, so if you don't want to put them.
For sure, Buffalo. For sure, Baltimore. For sure, Kansas City.
Pittsburgh?
I don't think.
You're saying for sure three. So
for sure three.
You could have
AFC's weaker.
So you could have the Cowboys at 13. I've been saying the AFC's weaker for like 3 weeks. So you would have the Cowboys at like 13 then, with only three AFC teams better. I want to see how far down the Cowboys, Bobby, can get them. If you have the Jets better,
I have Dallas in the bottom 10. Dallas is a bottom 10 team right now to me.
Boy, see, he is putting himself in a real tough spot.
Are the Chargers better?
Yes.
Okay. Are the Colts better? Damn,
that's
Bobby.
That's right around there.
Right around there. Is Cincinnati better?
Yes.
Cincinnati's
had some close margins.
I can see that. I can see Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh's better.
And
spoiler alert for this weekend's picks.
And the Jets you have. Yep. Okay.
It's all right. Dramatic there, Nick.
It is pretty dramatic there. Let's go. You want to go 5 through 1 or 1 through 5?
See, I still think one, we all know one, so that's the one that has the least.
Saying that. You said that last week, and we didn't all have the same
one.
All
right, I'll start off. The Minnesota Vikings are one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's assumption.
And it's not even difficult for me. You and Corey Majors are in lockstep, I believe, with what you're going to say. Minnesota is going out and smacking the hell out of everyone. They went on the road, Lambeau, Jordan Love. Yeah, he came back, but he still threw four touchdowns, and they're just running away and dominating people. So them against anyone on a neutral field tomorrow, I would pick the Minnesota Vikings to win that game. The fluke is up. It's not there. They are legitimate. Sam Darnold, maybe probably your MVP leader. Minnesota won.
Every year you do this, not you, people. We do this every year. Every single year. We say, you know, week four, week five, on a neutral field, this team will win. But we all know on a neutral field, if Kansas City plays, they've got 9 of the last 10 wins are by one possession. That's just how they play.
This is what you killed Minnesota for 2 years ago. And now you're like, this is the heart of a champion
guess
for
what?
Kansas
Minnesota
City.
Minnesota did not have Patrick Mahomes. That's the difference. And that's what everybody forgets about Kansas City. They can play however they want to play. At the end of the day, it's going to be a one-possession game, and Patrick Mahomes is going to win it. Is Minnesota playing better? Does Minnesota, like, if you were to look at it like right now based on the first 4 weeks, have they earned the right to be and shown they're the most dominant team in the NFL? Absolutely. But on a neutral field, there is zero chance I'm picking anybody to ever beat Kansas City as long as Patrick Mahomes is in his prime. On a neutral field, and for that reason.
Well, I do it. That's fine. I do it week by week on how they're playing in the moment. Patrick Mahomes isn't playing well, and they have no weapons. So I'm factoring in.
They had no weapons last year.
And their offense wasn't good, and they did end up winning it. You do it how you want. I mean, I say this every year. I don't even know what the point of doing this is. I don't know what the point of the power rankings is. We should just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to have Kansas City one every single week for every single year until Pat Mahomes starts fading. So what the hell is the point of this?
Does Mahomes lead the league in yards?
Is that you're going to go by the counting numbers?
He's 11th in yards.
He leads the league in something.
I'll tell you what it isn't. It's QBR.
Underachieving.
Which is QBR?
It isn't QBR because he's 17th, which is one spot behind Dak Prescott, who I know you think has been a world beater this year, Chop, and then one spot ahead of Justin Fields. That is who Patrick Mahomes is ahead of right now. It's Minnesota. Minnesota's the number one team in football right now. Their resume is the strongest in the NFL. You can't argue with the teams that they've beat across the way. Top 10 defense easily. In fact, some people would argue right now they are the best defense in the NFL. Collectively, cumulatively, everything that they do there, they are the number one team in football right now. And until they show something otherwise, you can't have anybody else there.
I did go Chiefs number one here. It was 1A, 1B for me. But really, it's because, look, Travis Kelce is starting to get rolling. And if you're buying stock in Travis Kelce, buy it now. It's low because Taylor Swift is about to go back on tour, which means no Tay-Tay in the crowd. Travis Kelce is about to ball out. Chiefs won for me.
This is that same thing we were dealing with in text the other day, Sean, where it's like, hey, what do y'all think about the Commanders? And they both go like, well, the Vegas line. It's like, I'm not asking Vegas. I'm asking you. Yeah. And, of course, these two would have the Chiefs number one.
Well, again, you would not pick Minnesota. You do not think. You may pick them. You would not put money where your mouth is. You might because you just do it just for effect.
I would lose my job at the NFL Network to put money on Minnesota.
Yeah, just
to prove
your point. But nobody would actually put money on it, and Vegas would tell you differently. And, I mean, look, they operate, Vegas does, whether you like it or not, they operate from a position of power because they have all the money because of people who continue to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Lions are number two for me.
Whoa!
And that's good. That's not even a hot take. They're more explosive than Kansas City. Now, I can't speak to their defense of what Seattle did, but just right now, tomorrow, with the way things are, I would pick the Lions to beat the Chiefs on a neutral field. That was explosive, what they did to the Seahawks. That was impressive. So I will have Detroit number two.
I will have...
And again, there's no Rashee Rice. And who else did they lose?
Pacheco,
Rice. Kelce did have 7 catches against the Chargers. Let's see how much they go to Worthy.
Well, they have not used him I thought they were going to yet.
Well, they just throw it deep. Here and there.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, what a lot of us thought. But who's your two?
You know, I'll give Minnesota here at number two.
Oh, thanks.
Do I think they're going to win the North? No, I think Detroit's going to win the North. Detroit has shown enough holes, though, to where I have to dock them because they also haven't done what the Chiefs have done, which is win the last two Super Bowls. Detroit's game defensively in the passing game, they're giving up a ton of chunk plays in the passing game. So give me Minnesota at number two.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas City at two. But Kansas City is not the Kansas City of recent years. Mahomes is like, you're talking about a guy who is through four games the first quarter of the season, he is basically 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He is turning the ball over. He is not making the same sort of plays that he has been. But they're the defending Super Bowl champs, the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. They're 4-0 to start the year. Can't totally discount it, so they're number two.
Vikings number two for me. It was real close, 1A, 1B with the Chiefs. And it'll be interesting this weekend. They play the Jets in London. So we'll see how right now they're 2.5-point favorites. The Vikings are. But right now, best resume in football. So Vikings number
two. Two and a half?
I don't
get that
at all.
How much does London screw things up, though?
That I don't know.
How much does it throw people off, like usual bets and lines? Kansas City's three for me.
KC three?
Yep.
All right. I have Detroit at three. Dan Campbell said he wants the offense to get better each week.
He ended up giving Goff a game ball yesterday.
He did. Yeah, delayed game ball. They're firing all cylinders offense, at least this was this weekend. And we'll find out how smart they are in 2 weeks. If they attempt a single pass against the Cowboys, they're the dumbest offensive coordinated team in the league. I think they have a bye week this week, which is way too early.
Yeah, it's Detroit's number three. There is some concerns about that defense. Like, they have leaked a little bit at times. But I think that they've shown consistently an ability to move the ball on just about anybody. So give me Detroit.
Same thing. Detroit number three for me.
Around the NFL Power Rankings, we need your 1-5, 5-1 here on DFW Sports Station. We are your official home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. It's a Matt Pittman Meet Church Wednesday coming up at 8:20 on Zoom, the Fan Cam, and the Tolos on Twitch. This is where it got tough for me with 3, 4, 5. 3, 4, 5, and 6, really. Baltimore for me is 4.
Okay.
That was super impressive. They shellacked Buffalo. They beat the hell out of the Cowboys. They had their stinker, their let up against the Raiders, and they barely lost to Kansas City on the road. This was tough for me between three teams, but I'm going to have the Ravens here at 4.
Okay, I thought about them. They were one of the 4 or 5 teams I had for 4 and 5. But I went with a team that I think health is going to prevent them from getting the one seed. It may even prevent them from getting a home game. They may not even win the division. But they had a get-right game, and they're still top tier. That's San Fran. I have San Fran at number 4.
You got a little smile. No way you're doing what I think you're going to do.
No, I just, like, in the middle of this segment, I'm like, it was so tough after 3 that I keep shifting stuff. I'm going to go 4 as San Francisco. San Francisco has not had a strong start to the season, but I feel like generally the Minnesota game, like if Minnesota is the best team in football, like I feel like they are, I can't dock them completely and just say, well, you're out of the top 5 for that loss. And the Rams game was such a fluky ending to it. Overall, I still think the 49ers are the 49ers, and they're doing it again without Christian McCaffrey. Mason's been really good. Give me San Francisco at 4.
What is up with him now? I'm sick.
Bilateral Achilles tendonitis.
And what does that mean?
It means he has Achilles tendonitis in his bilaterals, I guess. I think it's on both ankles. And now they're saying it's something that is going to plague him potentially for the rest of his career, but he can manage the pain, yada, yada, yada. I mean, they just gave him... I mean, he's got a lot of money that he is owed. There's an out. They got an out up like next year, but still, that comes with some dead cap.
4 for me is Buffalo. I dropped them from 1 to 4. Wake up call against Baltimore, I get it, but that's still a really, really good team in Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So I have Buffalo at number 4.
5 for me is San Francisco. I tried to get the Commanders up here, thinking about Buffalo up there. But I'm going to keep San Fran at 5. I could easily go Buffalo. It's San Fran or Buffalo for me at 5. But my 1-5 is Minnesota, Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore, and San Fran. I still got to see a little more from this Buffalo formula.
Yeah, I was going back and forth on this one, and I'll just give it to Buffalo, too. I mean, that was a scary loss against
Baltimore.
I
didn't give it to Buffalo, so it's not Buffalo.
I was talking about Peyton.
Okay.
But that was a scary loss. Baltimore came to play again last year, though, outside of the Kansas City game. Like, they went and demolished Detroit. They demolished San Francisco last year. That's just what they do. I don't think they're better. They're going to finish with a better record than Buffalo. Buffalo's going to be a higher seed, and they're going to have to go on the road probably to Buffalo, maybe, and play a playoff game there. So I took the Bills at 5.
Look, I for so long have dumped on him and said that he's not a real quarterback and that he's actually a running back. But what they did was really impressive, and what they've done the last couple weeks is really impressive, and that's why I have the Washington Commanders at number 5.
Trickery.
The most efficient offense in the NFL basically right now is the Commanders. And I don't see that.
49ers 5 for me. I have them up.
All right. There it is. Your week 5 Power Rankings Hump Day Edition with Sean, RJ, Roberto, and Pepe on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get your barbecue game right with the weather getting cooler. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with the official pitmaster of the Cowboys, Matt Pittman, live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube right after this. It is a Meat Church Wednesday. We always take a little barbecue break with the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, Matt Pittman. But for the intro this week, we toss it over to RJ Choppy because of Matt's background.
Matt is in front of a bar right now, home bar. And let me just tell you something. That is quite the collection and selection of bourbons and whiskeys behind there. I see at least 5 different kinds of Blantons. I see 4 different Russells. Is that a Michter's? I see the Pendleton. This is fantastic. So I can't find an Eagle Rare, but I'm sure it's up there. I just don't see it. What a absolute unit of a selection that is.
There we go.
Oh, is that? Oh my God! See, you can only get really the 10-year, right? I haven't been able to find anything. I know people have 20-year. Apparently in like Nashville, when you go, Sean, you can buy the 20-year anywhere. You can't buy that around here. It's very, very difficult. What a selection.
I like the light.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What is that glow back there?
A friend of mine built this this bourbon bar for me, and he backlit it. There's like lighting strips behind the shelves, so it's nice at night. I think maybe we should do like the next show down here.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Now, how often do you partake? Is it once a night? Is it once every other night? How often are we going? What does Aaron Rodgers call it? Knuckles?
Fingers.
How many fingers do you take a night?
Depends how the Cowboys play.
All right, let's talk about that tailgate. That was a serious-ass video that you had for the Cowboys tailgate the other day. What all did you cook?
Yeah, we figured we would go like really big. You know, friends with the Cowboys helped us secure some spots to do like a pretty epic tailgate. And we went beyond over the top. We're in our normal spot. Told you guys last time we were going to do it. But I actually took a couple of my Meat Church employees, Gavin and Jack, that really like busted their butts. And we went all out, like brisket, beef ribs for the mains. And then I think we had like 10 different appetizers and sides and everything from smoked cream cheese to, you know, all sorts of wings and grilled elote dip, and we even made banana pudding bars to finish it all off. Had like 3 different kinds of cocktails, so it was fun.
So, is this available to like invited everyone? You have to be invited to get in there and sample it. Are you selling it? Like, who's all this food for?
Yeah, I mean, this was our friend group. You know, this is our 22nd year season tickets, but we've been doing it for so long that, you know, it's like a lot of people know that we do it. So there's all sorts of people that come up. We're not selling it or anything, but I made so much food that if people came by, we fed them, you know, this time, or as long as my friends ate first. So there was like a ton of it left over. So, you know, friends of friends, and like I said, word's out. So all kinds of people come by. It was actually pretty dang big for a private tailgate.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the party ribs, like cutting your pork ribs individually and then cooking them versus leaving it as a whole rack. Are people now doing this with maybe what many say is the best bite of barbecue, with the big monster beef ribs?
Yeah. So like you said, you know, we did the whole pork party rib thing. And I haven't, by the way, I've not seen one negative comment about that. So people are, I mean, people that go do it, they're like, oh, I may never cook a rack whole again. And I'm not saying go that far. But I thought, all right, well, we're in beef state and we all love beef ribs. Like you said, beef ribs, my favorite bite in barbecue. So I thought, let's try it. And so the video we released last week on our YouTube channel and on meatchurch.com was honest to God, like we'd never done it. Like when we did it for the video, it was real. So we went to HEB here locally and they have individually sliced ribs. They were chuck ribs. And they actually looked like they were also cut in half because they were pretty short. It was $11 for four of them, which is honestly pretty cheap. Wow. And, you know, I smoked them for a couple hours and then I put them in a pan to braise. And I didn't want to put as much sweetness in there like I did with pork ribs. So I put a little butter. I put some barbecue sauce, a little bit of honey. I didn't put sugar and stuff like that that a lot of people would do with pork ribs. You know, cooked it for a couple more hours until they were tender. And they were like real good, like honest to God, really good. And I'm like, man, for $11, like that's a treat. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see if it catches on. Normally when we drop a video, it takes people a few days to kind of run out and do it. So it's too early to tell if it'll like be a trend, but I'm definitely a big fan of it.
But it makes even more sense for the bigger beef ribs. Like I guess the only worry about the pork rib would be that they would dry out cutting them because they're smaller, but the beef rib's not going to dry out. And then you get the seasoning on the other side as well, right? It makes more sense for that.
Yeah, they're so like when they're individually cut raw and seasoned and cooked cooked individually, you've got that caramelization around the entire thing, which is something you won't get, you know, if you cook them whole. And in the pork rib video, I likened it to pork belly. If you cube up a pork belly into raw cubes and cook them individually, you get all that caramelization around the whole thing. So there's a lot more flavor with it. And then when you put it in a pan with things to braise it with and cover it with foil, you're not going to dry it out. So it's, you know, super juicy and you can toss it in the sauce. I mean, it's a winner.
Okay, Matt. So we were running into this recently. The Thursday night games. All right. When you're doing a Thursday night game, typically if you've got the Sunday game, people are always like, oh, I got my tailgate set up and get things set up. I can cook. A lot of people are coming right off of work and rolling into the game. And it's like, I need something quick if I want snacks and stuff for the game. If you had that 1 hour window to prepare for like a Thursday night football during a work week, what are like the easy go to, like, all right, this is a good game day party watching thing to make that's not going to take, you know, 3 hours to prepare?
Yeah, that's actually a great question because a lot of people hit me up with that last week. And I'm going to give you two options. One, I mean, you chose. I'm going to tell you what you can do, and then I'll tell you what I did. So you could simmer something all day, and we're going into comfort season, and I'm seeing a ton of chili already. Like, I looked at YouTube, and my number three most viewed video in the past month was a chili video I dropped a year ago. So that tells me, even though, you know, it was 90 here yesterday. 90 degrees.
The one with the zucchini in it?
No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't yours. I haven't published that one yet. But so chili's hot. So, you know, I have kids in sports during the week. And so I've simmered red beans and rice. I've simmered chili all day. So you come home, you do nothing but serve it, right? So that's a great option. But what I did last week on Thursday was I did my double fry wings, but I'm going to add something to it. So you fry the wings for 20 minutes at 200 degrees, and then you have to rest them for an hour, let them cool off. Well, you could do that the day before, and you can put them in your fridge. You can even freeze them. So you can do step one today and set it away. Mm. So then when you come home from work, you do a 10-minute fry at 400, and it is the crispiest wing you ever have in your life. So I was able to, I did it on another day also, but I came home right after, you know, right after work, kids got home, and I did my 10-minute fry and I was ready to eat for the game. So that's a great option.
Matt Pittman, it's a Meat Church Wednesday. All the seasonings are available in all the stores. And one of those seasonings includes the brand new official Dallas Cowboys rub. Tell us what it is.
Super excited about this. It's called Hail Mary. And it's complete and ready. We took it to our tailgate. It's not for sale yet, but we're actually producing it right now. So it should be, with any luck, it'll be next week. It'll be very, very soon. And it's a pretty cool opportunity for people that live here, obviously, you know, your listeners in particular, because it can only be sold in Texas and Oklahoma, minus the 75 miles around NRG. So we didn't go for an NFL license. So it's going to be unique. You're not going to be able to get this all over the place. We are working on options to hopefully sell it on our website to kind of geofence in people that can buy it, but it'll be available at local retailers at Meat Church Barbecue Supply. I'll be posting all over social as soon as it's ready. But it's really good because it's quite different from all my other seasonings. It's meant to be a tailgate rub. So I want to be able to put it on everything, but it's more savory, almost kind of rustic. So, and it's got a little bite to it. Like, I don't want to call it spicy, but you'll taste a little heat. My kids eat it, so I didn't want to make it too spicy, but it's really good and just very different from all the other seasonings we have. So I think it's going to be very popular.
Is there MSG in it?
Maybe just a teensy bit.
Okay.
Is Drew Pearson aware of this?
Or Roger?
We haven't made that reach out yet, but it is definitely in the plans. I've heard that, you know, I've got some people that have friends that work in, like, Miller Lite works with him, and they're like, man, he's really loving promoting stuff lately. So I think that would be super cool. In fact, I just recorded him talking about the catch to someone the other day, and I was like, man, this is going to be really cool if we can go full circle. I got to give my man Brett the Cowboys credit. He actually named it. This is the first seasoning I didn't name. He's like, what do you think about this? And I said, that's pretty badass. So we went with it.
Are you set up at the fair this year?
Yeah, we're in the Go Texan Pavilion. So it's an area I've always admired. You know, obviously our products are made here in the Metroplex, and we're proud members of Go Texan. I think it's a really cool thing to brag about. And they wanted us to kind of go big in there this year. So we set up a full end cap. So a huge display inside the inside that pavilion, which is really pretty cool because we're big fair people.
All right,
my family.
Let me. And what's the 1, 2, 3 at the fair that you walk in and go for? What are the must haves?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to be cliche, but we're going straight to Fletcher's corn dog with mustard. It's the only answer. No ketchup. No other stuff.
I like hearing that.
You also got to know where the 4-ticket beer is. So, you know, I'm going in that big food court. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a couple of places that beers 4 tickets. And so I don't know why, you know, I walk 8 miles to find the 4-ticket beer. And, you know, my wife, like, she could live on concession stand food. So there's all, it's that big food court area next to the Midway. So she goes in there straight for the Frito pie. I obviously not tried any of the new stuff yet. We're going to go this weekend, I think. So, I've been planning out, you know, what I'm gonna go try.
All right, let's get down to
report back on that.
Let's get down to business. The only thing I really care to talk about today is my trip to Nashville, and I had to choose between my godson and Vanderbilt playing the Longhorns or your Alabama Crimson Tide, and I said I want to see what the Bama takeover feel is like. So I've never been to a visiting college football game like this. I've never been to any type of Alabama type atmosphere. I know it's in Nashville for Vanderbilt, but what can I expect from the Alabama fans in terms of the amount, the way they act, the way that they're going to look? Give me a little preview of my big SEC weekend.
I mean, by far and away, it's going to be the Southern hospitality. I think that you will be impressed with how nice people are. And honestly, a lot of the away games, there's a lot of an older crowd. There's a big contingent of people that travel. And, you know, I've met some people that, you know, 10, 12 years ago at games that are older than me that I'm still friends with today. And I'm just always taken back by how nice they are. And I don't know if I ever said this on here, but I was in Tuscaloosa for the game where A&M beat Alabama. And I was walking out. I was with Aggie friends. And by the time we got to our truck, they were like, dude, like, all these people were walking down from their tailgates, like, telling us good game. They're like, what is wrong with these people? I'm like, you know, the hospitality is just on a different level. And, you know, I just am not used to that. I mean, people are nice in Texas, but they are nicer in the South. So I guarantee you that'll be number one for you.
Any Nashville suggestions? Must go to's in Nashville, as I've never been.
Man, I'm gonna have to. I'll work on that on the side. There's a, you know, everybody says you got to go have hot chicken. That's so old now. But I would tell you, if you are gonna go for hot chicken, I would go to Prince's and I would go to the original. And unless you want it real hot, don't get the hottest. So I think it's a must have at least once. I can send you some barbecue places that you could check out.
There's a Rodney. There's a Rodney Scott that's on top of some hotel. It feels like a little touristy, but I've been dying to see if this Rodney Scott whole hog barbecue is actually worth it.
Is that the Morgan Wallen Hotel where he threw the chair off of on top of that hotel?
Right, I'm not sure, but I don't know. I'm like, I see Rodney Scott's name, whole hog barbecue, and I'm like, is it really that worth it? Because generally I think pulled pork is pretty generic and plain, but it's Rodney Scott.
I do love whole hog barbecue. I always say, like, it's crazy how simple it's prepared, yet how complex it tastes on a sandwich. You know, you're seasoning a hog with nothing but salt, and then depending on where you're at, you know, you're chopping it up and putting in, like, Texas Pete's hot sauce, little cider vinegar, some more salt, and it just tastes like a whole lot more. I'm a huge fan. Now, I have not been to the one in Nashville. You know, the minute something goes chain, I'm always kind of suspect, but, you know, I would probably go, like, I would definitely go at least once. So
All right, brother. Fantastic. RJ, super impressed with the bar setup. Super impressed with the Hail Mary seasoning rub just available in Texas and Oklahoma. Matt Pittman with a Meat Church Wednesday. Thank you, boss.
See you guys.
There he is, always on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Matt Pittman on the D&M Leasing Hotline. One of those sips of what he had. What would you take, Chop? What would you get?
Well, Blanton's is very hard to get, but he has the Blanton's Gold. So that's the one I would take. I would try to get.
Why did the NFL feel compelled to write an explanation about the decline of the passing game? Next, and Below the Belt here on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Cut the music for a sec. Cut it, Peyton. Cut it, Peyton. This is Below the Belt, presented by A Number One Air. All right, push it back up, Peyton. All right. We've heard a lot.
What was happening in the commercial
break? He is claiming and has been like on my ass about you didn't do the read yesterday. And I said, I absolutely did. And he said, go find it. Go pull the clip. So I found the clip. I played it for him. And then he goes, that was yesterday. And now he's just dug in. He's dug in like you guys say I always am.
And he
was wrong.
Walk in and hand you like the read to do it?
Yeah, in fact, there's foul language on it and stuff. Oh, but yeah. He did, after writing it, then write it again as it all caps, A Number One Air. So there you go. This is Below the Belt, presented by A Number One Air, something we thank them for very, very much. Okay, so there has been a lot of discussion about the decline of the passing game. Felt a little bit like this weekend offense rebounded a little bit, didn't it? It didn't seem nearly as run heavy, I don't feel like. I mean, Baltimore had a huge game, but I didn't feel like we were talking about just, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of 10-9 games this week, other than literally the 10-9 game between the Jets and the Broncos. But overall, I thought Pittsburgh kind of exploded with offense a little bit, and their opponents did. I feel like we hit a lot of overs this weekend, Chop.
Well, overs had been a rare sighting. It had been like the Sasquatch, the abominable snowman for the first 3-4 weeks of the season.
The number
weeks.
One air read.
And like that. But yeah, it did. They did bounce back. And of course, I mean, Pittsburgh had a very low total, and that blew by it, and Detroit blew by it. Baltimore missed with Buffalo by 1.5 points. So you were close on some.
Yeah, it was about half of every game this weekend had somebody score at least 30 points. So
that's good.
That's getting back a little bit more towards normal. But there was a discussion, and still one that's been going on, about what's going on with the defensive schemes. Why is there issues in terms of the passing game not, you know, flourishing the way it has in recent years? And it's enough of a question that before this last week's slate of games, the NFL operations, like football operations department, wrote a blog post trying to explain to everybody why we're seeing issues with the passing game not flourishing. And I thought it was, when you asked about it yesterday, Sean, asked Jerry about how the offenses have kind of slowed down, passing him slowed down, the too high safety thing. I thought it was interesting that he said, if it's a problem, we're going to fix it. Because it does remind me of how baseball reached a point where they said, offense is a problem, got to fix it, got to do stuff to encourage it. So is this the first initial steps of acknowledging that there is an issue? So here's basically what the operations department looked at. They said, in the mid-2010s, the NFL saw a surge in passing, over 480 passing yards per game in the 2015 and 2016 seasons, cumulatively, while rushing yards dipped to their lowest level since 1999. So the trend of higher passing yardage has been in decline basically since the COVID year. And passing yards per game have dropped from 496 in 2020 to 403 through the first 3 weeks of 2024. So down almost 100 yards per game combined. And that would be a low not seen since 1993, which is also the same year like free agency started. A major factor for this is the defensive strategies, the too high safety looks. They said that it's not just too high safeties. It's the fact that sometimes they're throwing in a third safety and bringing one in to play the box, and they're trying to be more flexible with their defenses. Said schemes like cover two, cover four, and cover six, which are just basically different zone coverage schemes that involve too high safeties, that those schemes have shot up this year and in the last couple of years. The percentage of too high safety looks on passing attempts has gone up from 44% in 2019 to 63% now. So a huge jump in that sense.
Warren Sharp says that the too high safety, it's not the problem. That's not it. It's the blitz. Through 3 weeks of the season, the rate of too high safeties on pass plays is 38.7%. Last year, it was 38.3%. The year before, it was 39.1%. The year before that, it was 38.3%. This is something that started happening 4 years ago. All right? Yards per attempt is up. So, according to Warren Sharp, the performance against too high safeties is better right now than it was the past 2 years through the first 3 weeks of the season. As I said, yards per attempt is up. EPA per attempt is up. Success rate is up. It is the blitz that is causing the offensive issues. QB, I'm not going to go through all the nerdy stats, but I'll send it over to Choppy. But this is the lowest mark through 3 weeks against the blitz since 2010. There was a time that offenses made defenses pay for blitzing. That time is no more.
So
that's the first guy I've heard say this.
That's interesting because some of those numbers, like ESPN did a thing yesterday where they said 46% this year of all dropbacks have been too deep. But
yeah, I think
the air yards are down. Yards per attempt are where they are. Yeah. The intended air yards are a full yard shy of where they were 7 years ago.
Air yardage versus the blitz, according to Sharp, is at 8. That's the lowest through the 15 years of this study. And almost 25% of the passes against the blitz are being thrown behind the line of scrimmage. That's the highest through 15 years.
Yeah, and I do think we were spoiled. You mentioned that, was that 2015? You said that number was 2015?
Which one? Which number?
You gave a stat, like over 450 yards a game.
Yeah, that it's down since 2015 and 2016 seasons when it was 480.
So you had Rodgers prime, Ben still there, Ryan prime, Rivers prime, Manning at the end, Brady prime. We don't have that.
But it was 500 yards basically in 2020. 500 yards per game combined between the two teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's... So, but we do have a little bit lesser of quarterbacks today. They're younger. They're skewing way younger. They're not used to seeing all the... They haven't seen as much as those guys. Those guys were super in their prime, seeing everything. I think it plays a major role. Joe Flacco said, you can absolutely throw deep with too high.
Yeah.
You can absolutely throw downfield. You have to be comfortable doing it, and the play callers are spooked by it, too.
Flacco throw deep against anything.
Yeah.
Just even it up.
Yep.
One of the things I think here, too, and I'd be interested to know, because for him to say too high safeties is... only 38% or whatever. I wonder if he's looking just at cover two. Because cover two, cover four, cover six, those are all different coverages that still have too high safety looks. Next gen stats also showed one of the things that NFL operations showed here was they use GPS player tracking to create a heat map of where players are typically lining up and their depth and things like that. And the secondary depth in the last 5 years is back on average like a full 5 yards, like from where it had been. So defenses are definitely shifting back. They note the air yards. They say the average air yards per pass attempt are down to 7.7 yards, which that's the lowest in over a decade. And they say deep pass attempts have dropped from 10.2 in 2019 to 7.7 in 2024. So we're down a full 3 deep pass attempts per game. What happened? What I missed?
All right. Okay, so I saw Feinbaum on there, and I was like, all right, maybe that's what Sean was looking at because Paul is just funny. And then I peer my eyes about 3 feet up. And
don't laugh at her. She can't help the way she looks, Sean.
She doesn't look... First off, she's not ugly. I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at the topic, dumbass. Should the Cowboys consider tanking this season? I don't even want to give any more time to it. I'm sorry. My reaction, I could not avoid it. Just good God.
Well, tune in for Below the Belt later this week. I'll make that my top.
Should they consider tanking?
But yeah, the deep pass attempts are down a full 3 per game from 2019. And so teams are definitely not pushing the ball down the field at all. The defensive adjustment so far has been a lot more horizontal stuff. All right, let's try and throw stuff, get guys going on the run, yards after catch. Because like we were just talking about there, the yards per attempt being up may also factor in the fact that yards after the catch are up because guys are taking the ball, running, and then because the yards per attempt is just a raw, here's how much yardage was on the reception divided by the pass attempts.
Quarterbacks are also right running more, moving more.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, and that helps it. Now, I do wonder... McCarthy is a big proponent of the West Coast offense. Cliff Kingsbury and the air raid is a big proponent of kind of attacking horizontally rather than going vertical. That's a big part of what they do. And in an era where we're talking about the two high safeties, is it a coincidence that we look at Washington and what Cliff Kingsbury does, which is attack horizontally instead of vertically, that we're looking at Washington and saying that's the most efficient offense in football right now? Because they're playing into what defenses haven't. Defenses adjusted to the vertical game.
Yeah.
They've still not adjusted to what's going on with Cliff Kingsbury and how they have things set up.
Who
there.
Else runs air raid at this level?
I'm trying to think, because the Shanahan scheme has kind of taken over, which Shanahan scheme still does things horizontally a lot, but they still try to hit more deep passes than air raid does. It's pretty, I mean, Kingsbury is the main one. I can't think of anybody else right now who runs a classic Hal Mummy type system the way King does.
Purdy, he's thrown 32 passes, 15 yards or more in the last two games, whereas Jaden Daniels has 33 for the whole year.
Yeah, everything is definitely more downfield. Get things going on the run, try and stretch things there, take advantage of the width of the field rather than the length of it.
I have an update on the Cowboys checking in on Devontae. We know the price. Are you interested as a Tolo? We have Micah Parsons breaking up the Eagles, and RJ says, do not hire Bill Belichick. Final hour, Hump Day Edition. Get started with you right after this.